You're with Virginia on ABC Radio Melbourne.
Let me just share with you what I've received this morning from Austin Health, or at least from someone who works at Austin Health. Austin Health itself, are they speaking to us this morning, Katrina? We've asked them to come on, but no response so far. They've also, just like Northern Health, as I mentioned to you yesterday, they've had to send the all-staff email to their own staff to stop them insisting on one vaccine over another, to turn up and get vaccinated, and to stop yelling at their own vaccinators when they don't get the vaccine that they want. The email says, amongst other things, it appears that there are some staff who'd prefer to receive the Pfizer vaccine. This may be due to recent media reports regarding the possible vaccine side effects in Europe. Both vaccines have been shown to be very safe and effective, with the recent release of the outcomes of AstraZeneca clinical trials in the US providing further specific evidence of the efficacy and safety of that vaccine. I would like to reiterate that you do not get your choice of vaccine. And the email goes on. Please be aware that you will go to the back of the queue if you choose not to go ahead with your appointment because you're not offered your preferred vaccine. And then under the subhead in this email, which is Be Kind and Live Our Values, the email says, while most staff do the right thing, unfortunately there are still some who are taking their frustrations out on other staff. Most recently, this has been experienced at our vaccination clinic and call centre. Our team are doing an incredible job managing a highly complex logistical situation. Please be patient and treat your colleagues with kindness and respect. So I've got a question that maybe those who work in these large clinical settings, in these large healthcare networks, can answer for me. One, the number 1300 222 774. I know you're informed and intelligent and clinically very capable people. I know that you stay up to date with the latest research. So why are you hesitant? Why are you not getting vaccinated? Why are you preferring one over the other? And I don't know if anyone honestly wants to speak to this, but why are you getting cross with your co-workers about it? You can give me a call if you'd like. If you'd like to remain anonymous and text, you can do that too. 0437 774 774. Annie Butler is the Federal Secretary of the Australian Nursing and Midwifery Federation. Annie, good morning to you.
Good morning, Virginia.
Do you know anyone working in your sector who's refused a vaccine?
I'm hearing similar things to what you're saying. I mean, I work for the national organisation, so I get a national picture, and I think people are a bit overwrought. They're a little bit stressed. I think people get easily agitated sometimes. We do understand that across the country, you know, in the catch-up from COVID and having to go through lockdowns and all the different pivots and things people have had to do, our health systems are now also under quite a bit of stress. And I think we all just need to take a breath and just be as calm as we can. Largely, absolutely largely across our nursing and midwifery professions, we're so supportive of vaccines. Also, really grateful that we live in Australia and that we have the opportunities that we have, and really be in a position of such luxury that we're actually quibbling. Some people, a small minority of people, are choosing to quibble over which vaccine they might prefer. Some countries don't have any choice at all, and not even a vaccine.
Well, indeed, and when you describe it that way, it is exactly that, a luxury. Although clearly, Annie Butler, not a small minority, because all of these healthcare networks, there's a different one that's in the paper today that has a similar email that's been sent out to all staff pleading with them to turn up and get vaccinated, to stop arguing over which one, and to stop being mean to their colleagues when they don't get the right one. So something's going on.
Something is going on, and I don't know exactly who those healthcare workers are. I can't say that they're all nurses, and I'm not in the position to make particular comment on what's happening in specific health networks and specifically in just one state. But I haven't heard this to be a huge issue uniformly across the country. That's what I'm saying, but I have heard pockets of it.
Do you think it's a specific issue here in Victoria?
I don't think it is a specific issue in Victoria, but again, I can't really fully comment. What we try and do, though, from the Federation's perspective, is just we keep producing resources for our members. We're trying to demonstrate the safety and the efficacy vaccines. We update those resources with every piece of information that we know. And, you know, forgive me for saying this, Virginia, but I would, you know, we try and reassure our members, come to us as a source of knowledge. Don't trust media reports.
Look, it's fair enough. I'll take that in the spirit in which it's delivered. Although I will also remark that this team works incredibly hard at making sure that what we put to air is accurate. But fair enough.
Virginia, I listen to you daily. So, yes.
but look, even on that basis, and I guess that actually goes to a question I wanted to ask you too, which is that on that basis of informing yourself using only the facts, and I'm quite sure that healthcare workers are reading exactly the same reports that I'm reading, the result of the clinical trials out of the US, the results of a mass vaccination program across the entire population in Israel and the like, that those reports show that AstraZeneca and Pfizer are almost identical.
Exactly. We would say the same thing.
So are they not informing themselves properly, or are they not in their busy, busy lives under this pressure? Are they not being helped and aided and informed by their managers who are running these healthcare networks?
That's possibly the case. I mean, one of the things that, you know, information is absolutely critical, proper, reasonable information, but also how you communicate it is critical. And I mean, that's one of the biggest problems we're finding with the aged care rollout is the communication just could not be more confused. From the aged care workers across the country, from our branch representatives across the country, we are hearing so many different reports of so many different things. There's just so much confusion. So I think sometimes how the communication is made is the underlining problem.
This on text. Hi, Virginia. I'm a doctor who's worked across multiple tertiary public hospitals. Not all hospital staff are health trained. There are many staff who work in admin, food services, cleaning, who may not be as up to date with scientific literature. The education campaign that is lacking for the general public is also patchy within the hospitals themselves. There's a lot of misinformation out there. That's a really interesting observation. Annie Butler, does that square with you that, well, we've been noting here for months the lack of a public information campaign just generally, lacking inside the health networks too, do you think?
I think the three comments that you've just had just absolutely hit the nail on the head. And we are appealing, have been, and will be continuing to appeal to the Commonwealth to do a better job on the public information campaign.
Why do you think they've done such a bad job so far?
It's very hard. It's very hard for us to understand that because we have been, from the time they announced it, we've been trying to work with them, raising all the issues that we know, we predicted were going to happen, and that, to be fair, we've had reasonable responsiveness from the actual chief medical officers and the, you know, trying to do their best to manage the rollout. We have faith in ATAGI. We have very good faith in the TGA, the advice, all of those sorts of things. I think I just have to say that the federal government, the Commonwealth generally, it's not very good at doing an on-the-ground rollout. They're good at putting, this is exactly what we've seen in aged care, you know, generally, and particularly during COVID. And now we're seeing it specifically with the vaccination rollout, good at putting words on the paper. Like, there are reams and reams of vaccination guidelines. But again, they're words on paper. They're not the actual practical logistics of making the thing happen.
And that takes us to vaccination in aged care. As I mentioned, they've only vaccinated one half of the staff and the workforce there in aged care. That's the Commonwealth responsibility. Do you have an understanding, Annie Butler, of what's gone wrong here?
Well, I have an understanding of the many, many issues that have been reported to me of the things that have gone wrong. So I think we raised concerns from the very beginning because the federal government has said from the beginning we will be solely responsible for the rollout into aged care. Now, I have to say I was concerned about that, especially having lived through the COVID experience.
Why?
Because, as I just said previously, they've not proved themselves to be very good on the ground, right? Putting things into practice on the ground. I raised again and again questions about where you're going to get this immuniser workforce. Right, and they're largely going to be nurses, aren't they? So they contracted companies that we had concerns about during the COVID, the peak of the COVID pandemic.
You're talking
well,
here about aspirin and the like. Why concerns
I am,
about
I
them?
Am. Because the subcontracting out to that, you're putting the responsibility out to that other person, not taking the full responsibility, and then not having, in our view, sufficient oversight of what's actually happening. So we all know there have been glitches with the program so far, and they've been, widely reported in the media. The other thing is about whether they would actually have sufficient numbers of people. Now, clearly they haven't. Clearly it hasn't gone as planned. We've been told a couple of different things. So we've been told that originally we thought both residents and staff would be vaccinated. Then we understand, of course, and I want to underline this, Virginia, with, the Federation is we are deeply committed to making this vaccine rollout
yes.
work, of course. But we understand that this is a global issue. There are global supply issues, of course. But the key, again, comes back to communication and to setting a realistic plan and making sure that you can deliver on that plan. So that started obviously not to happen. We've been told there were some concerns around supply. Then there were some concerns that they wouldn't be able to do. We're hearing now staff and residents at the same time because of, issues around staffing. They didn't want people to get all unwell at the same time. So we're hearing a variation of different things. Then we have these are the things that have gone wrong. The primary health networks that are across the country are being given a lot of responsibility for organising the scheduling for all of the in-reach visits, etc. That communication seems to be poor, fragmented, broken down. Schedules are put for one thing and then it doesn't happen. Our staff and the facilities that we talk to are confused. They're told that, it's supposed to happen on one day and then it doesn't
happen. Well, what you're sounding like is a bit overwhelming, frankly, to hear. Annie Butler is with you, Federal Secretary of the Australian Nursing and Midwifery Federation. Overwhelmingly mismanaged. I want to speak to Mark Butler, who's the Shadow Health Minister, in just a moment. And there are so many callers who want to get through. So stay on the line. I'm just about to come to you. So Annie Butler, just finally, I know there's no quick and simple solution for this, but if you could change one thing that might move the rollout of the vaccination to the aged care centre and make it work a bit faster, what would it be?
I think if we could fix, I think probably...
Just quickly?
Number one thing is communication problems. If we could just get clear communication and not just tell us the truth and then we can work. We can work with it and try to make it work. Can I just say one thing, Virginia, before? One WA member, aged care member, told me once again, they just feel like the aged care workforce is being completely undervalued and ignored.
Yeah, and we've heard that as well in the calls that we've got too. Annie Butler, good to talk to you this morning. Thanks so much.